Support for this public radio podcast comes from Society for Human Resource Management, HR, leading people, leading organizations, shrm.org, and by KeyBank Capital Markets, specializing in corporate and investment banking solutions for established and growing mid-sized companies. Visit key.com/KBCM.
Getting together on Rice.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. If you think the price of rice is a problem now, listen to this idea from the Prime Minister of Thailand. He wants to form a cartel with other rice-producing countries, Burma, Vietnam, Laos, Cambodia. The Prime Minister envisions this group fixing prices just like the oil cartel, OPEC. In fact, he wants to call it the Organization of Rice Exporting Countries, or OREC. Today in Washington, Congress looks at how food prices are affecting people in this country. Jeff Tyler reports.
With the slowing economy and rising unemployment, low-income Americans are being squeezed.
Many people who've never been to a food pantry or a food bank are finding themselves in need today.
That's George Braley with America's Second Harvest, a network of food banks. He'll be speaking at today's hearing. He says the need for assistance is growing.
The number of people receiving food stamps today is 1.3 million higher than it was just a year ago.
But with the rapid rise in prices, food stamps don't go as far. As a result, more families are turning up at soup kitchens. And Braley says charities are having a harder time providing help. For one thing, the federal government is donating less food than in the past. And of course, inflation cuts into a food bank's buying power. So, with the same budget, they can't feed as many people. I'm Jeff Tyler for Marketplace.
The Federal Reserve did as expected yesterday. It lowered interest rates a quarter point. But the Fed did not signal that it would stop cutting rates. Wall Street took this to mean the Fed doesn't know what it's going to do next. The Dow fell 11 points to 12,820. The Nasdaq lost 13 to 2412. The S&P 500 dropped 5 points to 1385. This morning in Europe, shares are mixed. The markets in Asia finished the day 0.5% lower. It's unlikely China can host a pollution-free Olympics. It will be somewhat smoke-free. Today, a ban on smoking took effect in Beijing. Schools, hospitals, government offices, Olympic venues. But it doesn't cover everything. Our correspondent in China, Scott Tong, has more.
A last-minute exemption allows lighting up in bars and restaurants in designated smoking zones. The head of the state cigarette monopoly argues a total ban is unrealistic and would harm social stability. Indeed, the cigarette is the business equivalent of the pat on the back in China, says Beijing restaurateur Paul Astafin.
It is used as a gesture of good faith. Every time I've ever came across doing business with people, whether it's in purchasing product, going out buying equipment or dishes, the first thing they do is offer me a cigarette.
China has a third of the world's smokers. 350 million is more than the entire U.S. population. Last year, Chinese cigarette makers made $50 billion. As for the Beijing ban, smokers who break it will be fined $1.50. That's about the cost of four packs of the cheapest cigarettes. In Shanghai, I'm Scott Tong for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Thrivent Financial for Lutherans. Introducing ThriveQ, an online tool that helps you know where you stand on your path to retirement. More at ThriveQ.com. By Grant Thornton, serving their audit, tax, and advisory clients worldwide with people who love what they do. Online at GrantThornton.com. And by Advanta. Advanta salutes small business. The brave ones, the risk takers, all those who chase a dream and make their own way.
Yesterday, commentator Robert Reich gave his arguments against suspending the gasoline tax this summer. Today, a different take from our economics correspondent, Chris Farrell. He thinks we should raise the gas tax. Chris, it's very obvious you're not running for office.
Oh, come on, Scott. Can't you see the bumper sticker? You're driving along the freeway in L.A., bumper-to-bumper traffic. And there it is. Raise the gas tax now. I mean, it's a great slogan.
Yeah,
yes,
if you don't want to get voted into office.
I am not running for office, but I want to argue that if you want to send the right signal to the marketplace, to the market, you want to raise the gas tax over time to, say, a dollar. You're not going to do it immediately, but raise it over a period of several years, and that will send an important signal to the market for more research and development into alternative energy. And that is where the real change will come in our economy at an era that we worry about things such as global warming and energy independence.
But aren't we reaching that point of changing behaviors without a gas tax? I mean, it's already $4 a gallon.
Well, here's the thing. My sense is we have finally reached a point where behavior is starting to change, where people are conserving more. So all a gas tax is going to do is going to say energy prices or gasoline prices are going to stay high. And therefore, the Silicon Valley entrepreneurs and research scientists, and they're all going to try and figure out ways to come up with cheaper energy, alternative energy, more efficient use of energy. So it would really give a spur to that market.
Yeah, but Chris, one of the main arguments against a gas tax is that it's regressive and that low-income people would get socked with another dollar when they're already having trouble paying for gasoline, and some of them don't have a choice but to drive a car to work.
Right. Now, we got a debate about how regressive it is, but let's just say it is regressive, and that is a problem. Well, what you can do is cut other taxes.
Mm-hmm.
You can cut the tax rate for low-income workers on the income tax side, or you could go and say, well, you know what we're going to do? We're going to cut the Social Security tax, which is a real hit on low-income workers. They get a benefit when they retire, but while they're working, it's a real hit. So there's a lot of things that you can do to adjust the tax code in other places so that you can protect your low-income workers.
Well, Chris, I have to give you credit for your ambition and thinking outside the box. I don't know if it's going to happen, but thanks anyway.
Vote for me, and thanks a lot.
As long as we're talking about taxes, yesterday, Italy's government published online the records of every Italian who paid taxes in 2005. It was supposed to increase transparency, democracy. But privacy groups were so outraged, the government pulled the plug. Plus, so many people were trying to see what their neighbors made, the website stopped working. In Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for listening, and enjoy your day.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.